knowledge fight. And Jordan, I am sweating. KnowledgeFight.com. It's time to pray.
I have great respect for Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight. I'm sick of them posing as if they're the good guys, saying we are the bad guys. Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan.
Knowledge Fight.
I need money. Andy in Kansas. Stop it. Andy in Kansas. Andy. It's time to pray. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
Knowledge Fight.
KnowledgeFight.com. I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes. I like to sit around, worship at the altar of Celine, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Oh, indeed we are, Dan.
Jordan.
Dan.
Jordan.
Quick question for you.
What's up?
What's your bright spot today, buddy?
My bright spot today, Jordan, is I'm a little bit late to this, but there is a new season of Survivor that has started.
Oh, whoa, whoa.
And so I've been watching that a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the worst casts I've ever seen.
Oh,
in my
really?
Life.
Is yeah. it a bad one?
I thought three people at least were going to die in the first week.
Oh, no.
Like people who had no business being.
Oh, so not like reality annoying characters, like they're bad at survivaling characters.
I think that they I found them somewhat grating.
Grading. Well,
a number of the people who are on this season. I couldn't find any real like shining, like, I'm excited to see how this plays out.
Mm-hmm.
There was just a bunch of people. I'm like, I think you're all going to quit. And then in the first episode, one of them did quit.
Huh?
And I don't know. It's strange. It's strange because I think that I've been spoiled a little bit when it comes to these kinds of competition shows by The Challenge.
Sure.
Because they compete. Like, say what you want about that show. They go hard.
Yeah, they have really figured out a way to get those people to just really act just in insane ways.
And all of the people are, you know, for the most part, physical specimens.
Totally.
You know, they spend a lot of time working out and are in peak, like, optimal fuck around game condition.
And in a space where you're like, it is a good thing you have the challenge because there's no other reason in your life for you to ever be this fit.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah. Meanwhile, on Survivor, you have people from all walks of life.
Sure.
And so, like, sometimes watching them try to do these competitions is like, I can't watch this.
Just who's better at starving today?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's a very strange thing because there's a two-pronged thing. I've always liked to see people outside and trying to survive.
Sure.
That's nice. It's an interesting thing. And I'll enjoy Survivor. Like, I'll go ahead and continue watching it until it goes away.
Sure.
I've already invested this deeply. What am I going to do?
Yeah.
But it is a little bit dull.
Yeah.
And when the characters aren't doing it for you, holy shit.
It's tough. Mm-hmm. It's tough. It's hard to suddenly just be like, oh, I don't think I can. You know what? I'm going to throw this out there. I'm done with people baking. I just don't give a shit anymore.
There's only so much you can bake.
I hit the point.
I think I would still be interested in the Great British Bake Off, but just because it's so calming.
I think, you know what? I think that's what happened. It makes me angry now that I can't find it calming. I don't find it calming.
It's like me and reggae.
Like, you're all trying to be calming when you all know that you're not. It's like there's a second layer. Everybody's aware of what it is that they are.
That
they're trying to, like, keep the formula while not going, oh, I fucking hate
it. I think you ruin things by branching out into like that great pottery
show
and all those other ones. I think you went too far afield.
That's
possible. If you would have just stayed with the baking, I think you'd be okay.
Sure, sure.
But yeah.
Did we just explain Mormon? Not Mormon. Oh, shit. Never mind. Amish. Yeah. Fuck me.
All right. Yeah. Well, Amish are just out there trying to survive, too. People on Survivor.
Yeah.
Bringing
it
back around.
Rumspringa thing. Yeah. Okay. Never mind.
So yeah, I don't know. I'm really not looking forward to this season, but I'm going to watch it.
Oh, I believe you.
Yep. What's your bright spot? Oh, wait. No, I forgot. Yeah. I had a thought that I lost, but it's this.
Oh.
Last season, there's this guy named Bruce who seemed like a very charismatic 40s-ish kind of guy.
Sure.
And he hit his head on something
Hulk.
In the first episode.
Yeah.
And he was bleeding from the
Jesus.
Face. And he ended up like having to be medevaced from the show because he
All
had
right.
like a severe concussion.
Yeah.
I think, as I recall, I haven't watched that season since it came out, but I remember he was like muttering stuff. And people were like, I think you need help.
Oh, is he back?
He got a chance to come back on this next season.
Yeah.
And it's so weird because, like, people have been medevaced before and not they don't necessarily get another shot the next season.
Sure.
So it's strange that he's being afforded that. And then it also just creates this bizarre dynamic between everybody because they've watched that season or they're aware that this guy knocked himself out and got another chance. And so they're treating him like he's not just another person who's on the show, but at the same time he is. It's fucking weird.
Yeah, that is
strange. It's not fair to him, I think.
That is strange.
It's not fair to anybody.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm not interested in the dynamic.
Nah.
What's your bright spot?
My bright spot is, Dan, I can see. Mm-hmm. I can see using my eyes. I got new glasses.
This was your bright spot in one of our live shows.
No, it was my bright spot because I had contacts.
That's true.
I finally got a new pair of glasses that replaced my lost pair of glasses.
Yeah, and they're kind of green.
I like them. I like them a lot. When they're not on my eyes, I can't see them.
Yeah, and that was why you couldn't tell that they were kind of green.
Well, they told me they were kind of green.
Yeah.
So I assumed, and then it wasn't until later that I realized that I wouldn't be able to tell. Mm-hmm. So I asked you.
Yeah, and I can confirm they're a little bit green.
They're a little green. I like them.
They seem like they're thicker lenses than the last ones, but maybe I never really took too close of a look at your old ones.
They're thicker rims by a wide margin, so they're
That's true.
Thicker rims. So the lenses, because my eyes are so terrible. The lenses, whenever I had the smaller pair of glasses, they like had to contort them in weird ways.
But that should make the new lenses look smaller.
Well, because
those ones look bigger because you had smaller rims,
right? If you looked at them from the side, the other ones looked like they were like 4 inches long. No, these are good. I can see further around my eyes.
Did you get an 8-minute exam to get those?
No, they gave me the full exam. They gave me the full exam this time.
Nice.
Every time it's like, guys, we can skip over the and they just never do.
Nah.
Just always have to do it.
They love it.
They just love hitting you in the face with that air blast.
Yep.
Ugh.
So, Jordan, today we have an episode to go over.
Yeah.
Congratulations on the eyes.
Thank you.
Before we do that, let's take a little moment to say hello to some new wonks.
Ooh, that's great idea.
So I not spoil anything about what our episode is going to be. So first, Jera Kett and the horse he rode in on. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, there are too many wonks today. I just can't get into it. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Got a little bit of Alex at the end there. Next, thank you for the Dixie Kong love, the only good character I know who shares my given name. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Imagine being born named Dixie Kong. That's just...
Yeah, not a lot of positive Dixie Kongs in culture these days.
It's true.
Yeah.
Next, Austin Rose, happy anniversary. Derek says, Andy in Kansas. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
And curse you, Kingsley. I was just here for the gummy bears. Now I'm a wonk. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
And we got a technocrat in the mix, Jordan, so thank you so much to Right-Wing Cruelty Isn't a Bug, It's a Feature. Thank you so much. You are now a technocrat.
I'm a policy wonk.
4 stars. Go home to your mother and tell her you're brilliant.
Someone sodomite sent me a bucket of poop.
Daddy Shark. Bom, 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 bom. Jar Jar Binks has a Caribbean black accent.
He's a loser little titty baby.
I don't want to hate black people. I renounce Jesus Christ.
Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you very much.
So now, Jordan, we have a situation.
Uh-huh.
We're doing an episode today that we were going to do last time.
Right.
But there was breaking news, and Alex did that special report that was so disgraceful.
Horror.
And so I had to boot this to now. And what we're doing today is a special episode for DJ Danarchy.
Yay!
I talked a little shit on one of our episodes for fun, and I did send an apology email that if you hey I hope you didn't take this the wrong way.
Of course you did,
and of course Danarchy was totally fine. But also got an email that Danarchy would like us to cover an episode from January 20th, 2010, because it has quote sheer stupidity in it.
All right.
And I think we could all use a little bit of sheer stupidity, a little bit of a break.
Believe him.
And also, this is where some drops that have been used that we haven't talked about on the episodes, or we haven't covered on our show,
sure.
But Danarchy is used in things. Some of the drops are from this episode.
This is like a backstory. This is a lore episode.
Somewhat.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Yeah.
But I figure we all need a little bit of fun.
I'm down.
And so thank you, Danarchy, for making those themes for us when we were in the UK, and just in general. The yes. themes are always so wonderful. And so here's an out-of-context drop from today's show.
You're under mind control, folks. I am sane. You are insane. If you don't look at these facts, and your humanity's gone for some of you out there that don't understand.
You're insane. I'm sane.
I appreciate... I just don't understand how you can live in a year that begins with a two and not go, the moment I've said you're insane and I'm sane, mm-hmm. the whole thing should stop.
Can't
and
I you see?
Be, everyone should just stop. Everyone should just be like, hold on. I get what that sounds like. Let's restart.
Can't you see through the mind control?
No. Stop.
All right.
Reset.
So today we have basically one large theme that goes over the course of the show. And then there's a couple of mini things that I don't even think are worth talking about, because the major theme is just that important.
That you are sane and I am insane.
No.
Or I am sane and you are insane.
The insanity plays into it for sure. Okay. But no, it's that Alex couldn't sleep last night.
Oh, that makes sense.
And he might
have... That makes sense. Yep, that's...
He might have had a vision and a download from God.
We're going to be live here for the next 4 hours. I'll tell you about some of the guests and information we're going to be covering today here in just a moment. But last night, I did a radio interview, went to bed at about midnight, and at 3:35 a.m., I woke up and couldn't go back to sleep. And I just sat there in the dark for hours thinking about this country, the planet, what we're up against. And I just had this overwhelming feeling, you know, in the quiet stillness of the night, that I'm not living up to the real potential of what I'm supposed to do. And that I'm not doing the job I should be doing in the incredible position I'm in. And one person was in my mind.
Yeah, one person was in his mind. He was thinking, he was sitting there at 3:30 in the morning, couldn't fall back to sleep, sitting in his living room for hours, staring at the wall, realizing he's not doing a good enough job in his career, realizing that he is failing his potential, and one person is just on the tip of his brain.
One, I don't know why, I feel like it's going to be Rod Paul. Mm. Two.
That's interesting.
I think this confirms such a terrible, I don't know quite how to describe it. You know that idea of somebody doing something horrible and just having no qualms about it, just continuing on doing horrible shit, and you're like, well, at least you can... At least there's a certain amount of envy there.
Yeah.
The idea that Alex has spent so much time racked with guilt over doing his job poorly and still does not change even the slightest little bit of it is almost a terrifying nightmare in and of itself, right?
Well, I mean, it's self-reported.
That's a good point.
I don't know if I believe this necessarily. It's,
right.
It's a good dramatic picture
yeah,
for him
true.
To paint, but I don't know if he was staring at the wall for hours. If it is, that's I must say, I am sane, you are insane, Alex.
I like the idea now of a Faustian bargain, but where Faust was just fucking with the devil the whole time. He's like, this is a tragedy. I'm struggling with my actions. Oh my God, it's terrible. Oh my God, this is so great. I love this. Oh, being the devil's awesome.
It'd be a little different.
Yep. It'd be interesting.
So this one person that's on his mind, I feel like it's very easy to get shades of the Tucker Carlson's the most important man in the world.
Sure.
And I wish that was how this played out.
No.
Because I would love to tease that out and drive you nuts with it. But Alex reveals who this person is immediately.
Damn.
One person was in my mind. And that was Glenn Beck.
Oh!
Glenn Beck is the counterfeit of what I am. I'm a real person. And I'm a flawed individual like everyone else. And I, many times, I don't think I deserve the incredible platform I have.
Agreed. I agree.
Agreed.
And
yep.
I've really rationalized to myself and lied to myself over the years and tried to play down my importance, though I have all this deep political and geopolitical and historical understanding.
Weird way to put it.
A lot of times we're blind. We have blind spots when it comes to ourselves. As much good as we've done and as many people as we've woken up, the world is far too dangerous and in too important a time, and I just pray to God. I pray to God to help me be strong. I pray to God to help me be focused and true and to really be able to articulate to people what I understand.
And that is that Glenn Beck is fake.
Yeah.
I'm real. He's fake.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
It is like an alien learned how to make frequencies make our words.
Uh-huh.
Because he keeps saying words and they make sense in my brain and I hear them and I go, yes, those are words that when you put them together, they make sense.
Yeah.
But I know he doesn't mean them.
Well, he means some of them.
They're not real.
He means some of them. And I think he means I feel that I'm real. And I feel that Glenn Beck is a ripoff of me. And I think actually some of those feelings are merited.
Sure.
Maybe not that Alex is real, but that Glenn Beck was ripping some of his shit off.
Totally.
I think that Glenn Beck had a number of other things he was also doing.
Right.
But there was a derivative nature to a great period of Glenn Beck's
show. But I mean, if you're Alex, you can say other people are ripping you off, but the moment you get into a who's ripping off who conversation, you get real quiet. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but he's right in this case that Glenn Beck is somewhat ripping him off, and I don't think it's a two-way street, because I don't think he's ripping off Glenn Beck.
No.
But he is ripping off Bill Cooper.
Exactly.
He's ripping off all of the John Birch Society forefathers that he had. You know,
yeah.
There is a thing that he's... Father Coughlin.
Yeah.
Lord Ha Ha.
I'm part of a rich tapestry of assholes. You're stealing our gig, man.
Yeah, and I don't like you.
Yeah.
But he doesn't listen much. He doesn't listen to Glenn Beck's show much.
Interesting.
But he knows that Glenn Beck is always talking about him.
You know, I don't tune into Glenn Beck more than once or twice a week.
It still seems too much.
Because I'm so busy running my own radio show, doing radio interviews, making films, producing videos. To really keep track of what he's doing, I mainly spend most of my time reading legislation and what's happening around the world. But every time I tune in, it just blows me away how transparent he is and what a Benedict Arnold he is. I mean, I tuned in yesterday for 5 minutes because I get ready at home, and then I drive into work, get here about 30 minutes to an hour generally before the show starts, and so I'm driving in, and I tune into different talk stations around the state just to get a feel for what's going on there. And yesterday he was talking about how we need new taxes. He was doing it in his last hour to pay off the banks, and how that's conservative to have taxes raised instead of cutting government, or instead of arresting the bankers. And then this morning, I tuned in for 5 minutes. And he was saying that 9/11 truthers are going to infiltrate the White House and kill Barack Obama. I mean, what type of... I can't keep track of it all. I don't have the time to watch this guy. Every time I tune in, it's pure evil, mixed with a bunch of patriot talk.
Yeah, it's pure evil mixed with patriot talk. So, I do think that listening to Glenn Beck 2 to 3 times a week means you listen fairly regularly.
Yeah.
Checking in on him, I mean, I guess if it's just for 5 minutes, that isn't that much, but it's still regular.
You know what? I'll say this. 2010 Jordan listens to somebody say, oh, 9/11 truthers are going to assassinate Obama. Laughs.
Mm-hmm.
Hilarity.
Right.
2023 hears that, goes, if he had said 9/11 truthers are going to hang Mike Pence, he would have been 100% accurate.
Yeah.
And then I go, like, I don't know if I should ever laugh again. I don't know what anything means ever.
Well,
what is happening?
So I can explain this one.
Yeah.
He's fairly accurately portraying Glenn Beck's words. I found this this clip of Glenn Beck talking. And it's interesting because what he's saying isn't accurate. Like, Alex is saying that Glenn Beck was saying that 9/11 truthers are going to infiltrate and then kill Obama.
Right.
And the reality is that at this point in history, in 2010, Glenn Beck was convinced that Obama's special advisor for green jobs, Van Jones, was a 9/11 truther.
Okay.
So Alex kind of knows this, but he's not, like, he's not really wrestling with the fact that this is what Beck is talking about.
Okay.
He's not talking about Luke Radowski trying to get in the Obama administration and kill him
right.
as a 9/11 truther.
There's a Van Jones already there ready and to take the shot? Is that what we're talking
about basically
here?
That's basically it. Yeah.
Okay.
So this was Glenn Beck coming up with an anti-left-wing conspiracy where Obama was being blackmailed by the far left to not moderate any of his positions because if he did, that extreme left, like Van Jones,
oh my God.
Was going to kill him.
Please tell me that we did that.
It didn't.
I would have been such a good move on our part.
This is actually a conspiracy that I think sounds right at home on InfoWars.
Yeah.
The only problem is at this point in time, Beck wasn't on board with the 9/11 truthers. And he's pretending to be above that whole rabble.
Sure.
So because of that, he used the name 9/11 truther to attack Van Jones. And in the process, Alex's feelings got hurt.
Right.
And that's why we're here. And he couldn't sleep last night.
Right.
And he stared at the wall for hours.
Right. So Glenn Beck. Making fun of the far left for 9/11 truthering and at the same time trying to convince people that they're insane.
I'm not certain that I would characterize it as making fun of.
Sure. Sweeps up Alex in the undertow.
Mm-hmm.
Finds himself with a little Alex attached to like a little aluminum cans six pack thing.
Yeah, and because Alex identifies as this 9/11 truther, he thinks that Beck is saying that he's going to kill Obama or his associates who just have questions about 9/11.
I find it interesting. We can go back and track Alex's ability to engage with what Glenn Beck is actually saying. As like a like I feel like every couple of years he has a completely different thing that he either understood or completely misunderstood, and then he's like, I hate Glenn Beck. Actually, Glenn Beck's a great friend of mine.
Pretty cool.
I hate Glenn Beck, and it has nothing to do with what Glenn Beck actually said ever.
Not usually, no.
No.
And I want to be clear, like if you listen to this episode, Alex does know that he's talking about Van Jones.
Okay. Okay.
So there is an awareness of that, but that's not how he's presenting what he wants the audience to experience.
Right,
this
right, right, right.
And so that's a little bit, it's a mess.
Yeah.
Also considering that like Glenn Beck, you know, had the Blaze and he used to employ Steven Crowder. And now Alex is on the Mug Club with Steven Crowder. You know, there's more direct lines between them these days than you would have thought back in 2010.
The churn of far right lunacy is. Ugh.
Yep.
Yep.
So, we are used to tech issues on the show.
We've heard of them.
But here, we find a unique one.
Interesting.
Also, new developments on the Austin Gun Show being shut down. And so, I'm just pausing because playing in my ear is thunderstorms, and I'm sitting here on air and there's thunderstorms going off in my ear. So I was asking the guys if they could hear that. It's gone now. Did you guys hear that? That's really strange.
Yeah, there's some white noise.
All right.
He has difficulty with this, and it ends up being an issue with his microphone.
Yeah. That makes sense.
And so they do end up resolving this, but it does require him to go off air. And so he throws it to a song.
Uh-huh.
Revolution. Wake up, boys, there's a candle on
Gotta
the window.
Gotta do it.
Yeah. So before he does that, though, he explains his feelings about Glenn Beck in a way that I didn't really expect that this is what was like under the surface for him.
Okay.
The people are waking up, so that's an incredibly positive thing that is going on. But the other issue is, what do we do, though, because the establishment is taking on our political coloration, but is absolutely guaranteed to betray us. And so where does this go in the political process? And, I mean, this is the big issue. We have the people's attention. The people are in the process of really getting educated and waking up. But the system is coming in with their full bag of tricks. We're going to figure out what's going on technically, and then we'll be right back. But this song is for you out there fighting for liberty and freedom.
Is there a thunderstorm in the back of that song? So I did not expect that the presentation of this would be that Alex is so popular and things are like the public is so into what he's doing that the establishment has had to create a fake him in Glenn Beck in order to like lure people away or something.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting because it's not just somebody who's like a crass opportunist who's using like, hey, you know what? Here's a character, like stealing a gimmick in wrestling.
Sure.
It's not just that. Someone going into business for themselves by stealing.
Yeah.
It is the globalists have created Glenn Beck as a fraudulent Alex.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's nuts.
It would be, I mean, I it raises the stakes so much higher, you know, like if I'm me watching somebody and they're doing like the 5 minutes that I have on YouTube or whatever, mm-hmm. I'm sitting there going like, man, they should have stolen from somebody better.
Uh-huh.
Instead of being like, well, obviously the globalists grew a me in a lab in order to do 5 minutes of material slightly worse than me to tarnish my reputation for average comedy.
I don't know if I have ever mentioned this on the show. I can't remember what we have and haven't talked about. But did I ever tell you about there was another guy named Dan Friesen? Who
no,
there was a comedian or an aspiring comedian in Canada.
Uh-huh.
I got an email from him one day. He was like in high school. He was a younger guy. And he was like, I found your video online. Am I going to do your routine at the talent show or whatever? I'm like, you probably shouldn't do that. And his rationale was that we have the same name.
You got the same name. Can't prove anything.
Yeah. I was like, that's interesting.
That is sovereign citizen level.
That's probably going to hurt me more in the long run.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure what ended up happening with that. But
he's doing an interesting show.
I think
you'll like his podcast.
I think
called Knowledge Fight.
As I recall, he ended up being a background extra in a Dunkin' Donuts commercial.
All right.
And then I think also an extra in an Underworld film. And that's where we lost track of each other.
That actually I am jealous of. I would like to have been in an Underworld film.
Would you like to be a vampire or a lycan?
Boy, you know, it goes back and forth. Mm-hmm. If you stick with the lore, sometimes you're the vampires, they're the good guys. Sometimes you're the lycans, they're the good guys.
I think I would be a vampire.
You know what it is? Conflict is the bad guy.
I don't want to be a werewolf.
Fair enough.
So Alex can't watch these people out there being tricked by Glenn Beck.
No.
It's just, it hurts.
Uh-oh.
It is very painful to watch people being conned, to watch people being manipulated, to watch people falling for the same tricks over and over and over again, and to hear people saying that sales taxes, value-added taxes, excise taxes to pay off money to banks we don't owe is conservative. To watch somebody get up and say we need to pass the banker bailout in October of 2008 and now say they were against the bailout. To say that Ron Paul's a kook and his supporters need to have the army sicked on him. To hear them today, Glenn Beck, say that, and again, I tuned in for 5 minutes. I can't imagine what's going on his show.
Crazy stuff.
He said, I really worry for Barack Obama if he changes his communist ways. I'm really worried that if he moves to the middle, that 9/11 truthers that he has in his White House, Secret Service better protect him because he basically says the 9/11 truthers are going to kill him. That's like saying Marvin the Martian is going to land from Pluto and start eating children's brains. It's just total yellow journalism fraud.
Now, I do agree with that on some level, and that is that Marvin the Martian is not from Pluto. He's from Mars.
Yeah, yeah.
It's right in the
name. It is so thoroughly in the name.
Yeah, but you can see in that clip there the way that Alex is playing this weird game of trying to have both sides of it. Like, there's 9/11 truthers in his administration, and then also 9/11 truthers as a whole.
Yeah.
And it's just an attack on Van Jones, quite frankly. That's what Glenn Beck was doing.
Yeah, it does feel like Alex is trying to go out of his way to take offense at this, I guess.
Yes.
Is he taking, he's taking offense?
I think he is, and I think that part of it is he's super defensive. He didn't get enough sleep.
Definitely.
Should have taken a nap.
Probably.
And then also, I think you noticed a little something there of, like, it hurts to see people getting conned over and over. There's a little projection.
Yeah.
There is a little bit of very clearly, like, I don't know if he means to, but he's talking about his own show when he's complaining about Glenn Beck.
Yes, 100%.
And that's why he has to scream, like, I'm real. Yeah. He's fake.
Yeah.
No, you guys are both doing the same shit.
Yeah, it is. It is always difficult to remember, you know, because you're so used to all the great punishments. But for these types, the greatest punishment of all is a mirror.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, it's tough to look in.
It's tough to look into.
So, if you don't want to look into a mirror, you can look over to the side, and you know what you see over there? Savage. Michael Savage.
No.
You look over here, what do you see? Rush Limbaugh.
No, we're in a hall of mirrors.
So Alex likes those guys more than Glenn Beck.
Yeah, well, that makes sense.
And at this point, he does not like those guys.
I've had my problems with Rush Limbaugh.
Jealousy.
Being a rhino. And I've had my problems with Savage, with talk of restricting free speech until his speech gets restricted. But these guys are nothing compared to Glenn Beck. I mean, Glenn Beck is consciously an operative of the New World Order. He revels in deception. I mean, I listened to it, and it is levels of twisted deceit.
I'm not moving.
Nope.
That are, it's just devilish. It's devilish.
Maybe he didn't fix that mic. Or maybe his stomach's growling. There's a lot of possibilities. Yeah, that's strange.
I genuinely kept sitting there thinking, like, oh my God, I need to be more still just to, like, control my... There's no way this is me. There is no way this is me.
Yeah, that is more sound artifact from him. But, like, the more important point is, Glenn Beck is devilish.
Glenn Beck
is demonic.
Purposefully. Why is this?
Because he's working with the New World Order in order to create a fake version of Alex in order to ruin Alex's life.
You only listened to 5 minutes.
But he listens to 5 minutes 3 times a week. He knows.
That's almost somehow less qualifying for a good response.
This is an attack on Alex. Glenn Beck's existence is an attack on Alex. You understand?
I don't know. Maybe.
And he's working directly with the globalists, and Alex knows that he knows this.
That I definitely believe.
I think Alex just needs to take a nap.
Yeah.
But this, I found this thought to be fairly interesting as well.
Okay.
Yo, he's the guy now leading the Tea Party movement out of anybody out there. Not Sarah Palin, not Ron Paul, not anybody. It's Glenn Beck. And they're creating a cult of personality around him. And he plays his role well. He acts like a clown and a fool. Calls himself a circus clown or a rodeo clown for the cover of Time Magazine and Newsweek. Does the fake crying on camera. Says it's all fake so that liberals hear that and don't become populist against the New World Order because they think Beck is behind it. And they go running back into the arms of Obama. He's meant to look so bad to the left that they go ahead and go along with Obama and his agenda because the alternative is Glenn Beck.
That's silly. I don't know of anybody who's like, you know what? I don't like it, but I support Obama because the alternative is Glenn Beck. That seems very weird.
Of the binaries that I have ever been faced with, that one is as far away from possible as I can imagine.
But I do like the assessment that Glenn Beck makes himself look bad and stupid in order to drive people towards Obama.
See, now that's projection.
I mean, everything is projection in that clip. That was like, he's describing Glenn Beck's show. I'm like, that sounds like you, man. He's yelling. He's a rodeo clown.
He's just making all kinds of noise. He's saying all kinds of weird things. He's making sound bites that people like to remix into different
things. He calls
himself
the meme machine.
Oh, this kind of, it's sensationalist bullshit is what it is. And I will not stand for it.
Yeah. Yeah. This is very clearly, I don't know if it's intentional. I really don't think it is cognizant. No. Like, I don't Absolutely think he realizes not. How much of a self-indictment this is.
I mean, there's no way that he could seriously be like, hey, listen, this person does such a bad job being the thing that I say is good that it's making people want to go be friends with Obama
mm-hmm.
without being like, I am doing such a bad job that I am driving people to Obama.
Right.
You can't do that.
And that, like, I do such a weird, bad thing.
Yeah.
And I'm uniquely gifted at it.
Yeah.
By way of, like, distraction tactics and performance and all of this. And Glenn Beck is not good at it. So him doing it must be a conspiracy.
Yeah.
Instead of just looking at, like, no, what you're doing is bad, you're just able to get away with it a lot better than someone who has a job because they okay. have a boss.
All right, let me pitch you this.
Yeah.
Here's what I see now. This is what I'm seeing.
I'm listening.
All right, I'm thinking more and more about Alex and how he came to be what he is, right? So Alex evolved in a cave, right? So he's got eyes, but they don't actually see, you know, they're like, they're residual eyes, you know,
right,
they're vestigial.
Right.
Right. Right. So then out of nowhere, what's this wake coming? He can feel water. There's a fish. It's got googly eyes on it. Right. Put there. It can actually see, but it's making fun of Alex for not being able to see. This is what it must feel like to be Alex. A sightless fish.
I'm
being touched by a googly-eyed fish.
Struggling with your metaphor. But yeah, sure. I'll go with it.
Yeah, it's something along that. You know what? It got away from me.
Yeah.
But I think there's something there.
I'm not sure about the introduction of the googly-eyed fish.
The googly eyes is where I got distracted.
There, until you got there, I was with you that he is a sightless fish. That part I'm fine with. So we get off this topic of Glenn Beck yeah. and his devilishness.
Yeah.
Because we have to talk about how every single person who's been elected into the European Parliament is, well, I'll let it
a
out.
Dracula?
No.
Oh.
I wanted to open the phones up in the first hour. We have a guest coming up in the next hour to talk about what's happening in England and in Europe as it's discovered that basically almost every new member of Parliament, their economist in the EU, are open Marxist-Leninist, Stalinist, Maoist. What's going on? I mean, is this a communist invasion? No. The big banks always put communist in.
Yep. So
what?
I don't know if he were pressed on it, much like he doesn't seem to have a real robust knowledge of what the difference between Hamas and Hezbollah is.
Yeah, yeah,
I don't know if he would know the difference between Marxist-Leninists and Maoists or Stalinists and Leninists. I don't know if you'd know these different sort of schools of communism from each other.
I think what I find fascinating is that he, by knowing that they have different names, suggests there is a difference between them.
Well, he's read them in, like, screeds written by Gary Allen and
right.
Phyllis Schlafly. So.
Right, they all have different names, which suggests they would need a reason to be differentiated from each other.
Well, it's just distraction.
See,
it's trying to make you think that there's differences,
yeah.
but in reality, it's all one compound noun. Marxist-Leninist,
yeah.
Marxist-Leninist, Maoist,
Stalinist.
Stalinist,
yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. I appreciate that the banks, they fucking love those guys.
Love them.
Love them.
So Alex has this guest on.
Yeah.
And it's probably not a name that you'd recognize, but I would be interested
okay.
if you did.
All right.
Now, we are joined for the balance of the hour with the European Member of Parliament from Yorkshire and Humber for the United Kingdom Independence Party. We are joined by Godfrey Bloom. Godfrey Bloom, MEP.co.uk, to talk about a host of issues. But I wanted to get him back on last week when I saw some press releases he was putting out about the type of people that are coming into the European Parliament now and the type of bureaucrats they're hiring are open Marxist-Leninist.
So Godfrey Bloom is the person who's making this shit claim.
I do not know Godfrey Bloom.
And that's okay. I mean, it's a name that doesn't ring out widely in the United States. But I'm pretty sure that most of our UK listeners who aren't really young probably rolled their eyes when they heard that name be announced.
All right.
He's a very well-known figure in UK politics and has been described as many as a, quote, national embarrassment. In 2013, Bloom gave a speech where he argued that the UK shouldn't be sending aid to, quote, Bongo Bongo Land, which is a traditional racist term used to describe countries in the developing world, usually in Africa.
Yeah.
This caused such an outroar and an embarrassment that Nigel Farage, in his capacity as the head of UKIP, had to plead with Bloom not to use that term again. Nigel Farage was like, reel it in, buddy.
You know, of all the, fine. If we're, but no, no.
Despite Farage pleading with him to never use the term again, he claims he's never apologized.
Okay.
I'll read to you here from a profile about him in The Telegraph. Quote, I've never apologized, he blusters with another thump of the table. And I never will apologize. What I did, and I was very careful, was to say that that if I have caused genuine offense, I regret that. It's a derogatory phrase, yes, but I meant it to be derogatory. I didn't mean it to be racist. The boss man said don't use it again, and I won't because I'm a disciplined individual and he's the boss.
That's a I wish I didn't understand those words perfectly.
So it's an interesting thing to hear Bloom describe himself as disciplined, because his track record would suggest the exact opposite.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, if you look at his past pattern of actions, he seems like an unhinged drunk bigot. For instance, in 2008, Bloom was carried out of the European Parliament chambers after delivering a speech drunk.
Oh boy, I mean, you're off to a bad start. You're off to a bad start souring me on a guy.
Presumably, he couldn't walk out under his own power.
That's what I would like to hear.
Or he was being dragged out.
He would have to be.
Two.
Yeah, there's no other reason to be dragged out.
So this wasn't the only time he's been caught being drunk on the job. And there was one famous instance where, in the middle of a debate, he drunkenly interjected with his thoughts about whether the Cambridge women's rugby team should have their numbers on the front or back of their uniforms.
That's a good question.
Well, it wasn't relevant to the debate at hand.
You know, I think a lot of people could disagree with that.
Mm.
And there's a lot to be said about the micro being applied to the macro.
So he doesn't seem to be all that disciplined. And that's just in terms of substance abuse while at work.
Right.
If you extend discipline to include things like not saying shit that's going to cause a huge controversy and make it so you lose all of your political capital and you can't get anything done, then Bloom is the least disciplined person around. So just to be clear, Bloom ended up quitting his post in UKIP and exiting politics after he had his ability to engage in party business removed in 2013. This happened after he gave a speech at UKIP's national or annual conference where he lambasted women in politics as being sluts who didn't clean behind their fridges enough.
I'm so mad. I hate these people so much because this is the guy you want. This is you. Don't you dare act like this is
the
guy.
He's a little to them.
No, this is you. And this is the you that I would be like, well, listen, I'm going to hang out for a while. I'm not going to be cool with any of this. But if we're at a bar, this is going to be a couple hours of entertainment
for me.
There's
a show happening.
Absolutely.
Here. It's an offensive ass show.
You're making the cool, fun piece of shit go away.
I would retract that word cool.
I would very much want. No. I want all of them gone.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so here's the thing.
The dull, banal, malevolent people as opposed to the bombastic guy who's really clear about what he's about.
Right, I think it's more like this, right? When Nigel Farage is like, oh, don't use that term anymore, the bongo, whatever it is, right? I say this, use the term all you want, get rid of all the racist fascists that are around
you,
and then we won't care so much about the words.
Yeah, the word itself is less important than the mentality that the word represents, and you're not rooting that out
at all.
You're
not even coming close to rooting that out. You're getting rid of the people who make it at least interesting.
Well, and make it visible.
Yeah.
Make it overt.
Yeah.
So anyway, he called women in politics sluts who didn't clean behind the fridge enough.
Sure.
So after that big joke, Bloom was outside talking to journalists, and a question was asked about how in all of UKIP's campaign material there were no non-white people. Bloom then accused the journalists of reverse racism and,
sounds right.
and hit Channel 4 news reporter Michael Crick on the head with a rolled up leaflet. This guy's a mess.
That's just the way you do it, though.
Yep. So naturally, this got even more attention onto him,
yeah.
And the UKIP leadership was pretty unhappy about the whole thing overshadowing their big event. Instead of all their cool ideas, all of the press was about this raging lunatic that they had as one of their MEPs. So Bloom's whip was removed, and then he quit. Fun fact, at this point in 2013, UKIP had one woman MEP.
Yeah.
She quit the party and said that Farage, quote, does not like women.
Yeah, no shit!
Yeah. But this whole thing about calling women in politics sluts, this really wasn't a one-off situation. Bloom had made a trend in his career of being super anti-women. As far back as 2004, he was declaring publicly that, quote, no self-respecting small businessman with a brain in the right place would ever employ a lady of childbearing age. In another 2004 speech, he said, quote, I want to deal with women's issues because I just don't think they clean behind the fridge enough. Seems to be a focus.
Yeah, he likes that one.
I'm here to represent Yorkshire women who always have dinner on the table when you get home. I'm going to promote men's rights. But his issues didn't stop there. In 2010, he was possibly drunk on the parliament floor when he decided to yell at German MEP Martin Schulz. He chose to yell, Ein Volk, Ein Reich, Ein Führer, which understandably, no one enjoyed that. People did not like that at all.
I would have had a great day.
It didn't go over well.
Oh, I believe it did not.
So Bloom refused to apologize, and he was temporarily ejected from the chamber.
I mean, but do you understand? This is a person, like, he understands, he and I agree on the definition of an apology. You know?
Well, maybe. But
in a sense, he does, because he's not going to just lie to you and say, I'm sorry for the sake of you going away.
Mm.
He doesn't, he believes.
I think you're reading more into this. I think he's a fucking stubborn piece of shit.
I agree with that, too.
I think that's more where it comes from, and you're projecting your own thoughts.
I'm just projecting that I want to go to a parliament and scream nonsense at people.
So this was the second time that he was kicked off the floor.
Oh, yeah.
The first time was in 2009 for heckling.
Yep.
And at that point, he was the first person ever to be expelled from the chamber in its 300-year history.
This is what I'm saying!
He's setting records.
What do you want from me?
So all in all, this is an angry bigot with a substance abuse problem, so yep. It kind of makes him the European Alex.
Yeah.
Except he got into politics. But after he was booted from politics, Bloom didn't take the opportunity to reflect on how he's a huge pile of shit. Instead, he went on being an asshole to everyone around him. For instance, in 2014, he was at a debate at Oxford, and a student with a disability approached him. Bloom decided that the right thing to say was, "Are you Richard III?" The king who famously suffered from scoliosis.
Yeah.
The student rightly took offense at this and called Bloom out. Bloom would go on to tell Channel 4 that the student wasn't offended by it and they drank and laughed, quote, until 1 a.m. on the strength of it. The student told Channel 4 a slightly different story. Though they did have a drink together after, the student was offended and, quote, we didn't bring it up again. This dude sucks. And in 2017, he called Goldman Sachs, quote, an international Jewish
bank. There we go.
So he has a little bit of that
Come
flavor
on.
In him, too.
Well, what did you think wasn't, like, what's not in there?
He's got a lot of hits.
Like, if you
he's,
if,
he's listen, rangy.
Listen, if you're looking at that, taking a taste of that stew, and you don't think the anti-Semitic gumbo is in there, you're out of your mind.
Yeah. That seasoning is there. So that's the guy.
Oof.
Real excited to have his thoughts about how there's Stalinist, Marxist, Maoists elected to the EU Parliament.
Wow.
But we're not going to hear that because it's a fucking boring interview.
That's unconscionable. It's unconscionable.
Well, it's unbelievable that it's a boring interview, but I think that's because it's not an adversarial space. This is a person who really is only interesting when there's hostility involved.
Right. That's what
and
I'm saying.
And for Alex, he's obsequious, and he's like, oh, this is a guy who's in the European Parliament who believes the same shit I do. Oh, you're a hero.
Yeah.
So there's no reason for him to bring out the thing that makes him interesting, which is his lashing out at people.
Yeah, no, that's why I said, that's why I didn't say, oh, that's unbelievable, or, oh, that's, it's unconscionable because it's on purpose. It's a purposeful act. We were deprived of something great, which is Alex and this guy getting into a weird drunken argument about nonsense.
Right. That would be much more interesting than the hour of nothing that happens here.
Ugh.
Oh, my God, all these people are communists.
Gross.
Yeah. So we get back to Glenn Beck. Because that's what happens after the interview is done.
Okay.
Alex gets back to Glenn Beck.
All right.
Again, I know you as the audience know this, but we've got to get this message out to people. I mean, really, we should write a news article. Kurt Nimmo, Paul Watson, Aaron Dykes, Steve Watson, somebody, or some other news website. Somebody ought to really go through and compare Glenn Beck to Barack Obama. And the only thing they really disagree on
hair
is global warming being man-made and government-run health care. And Glenn Beck is 100% right on those issues, and it's great. And I would love, look, folks, I'm not attacking Glenn Beck because he's got a bigger radio show than mine and a big TV show, okay? I'm not here trying to win a popularity contest. I don't like to end fight. I don't like to sit here and call people out in the media and make a big spectacle and issue out of it. That's all everybody else does. Beck is so key to this, though, where he's been placed, the things he has done, his history, that it goes against my instincts. I hate to have to go after Glenn Beck, but I know I must.
He must.
He must.
Alex hates infighting so much.
It is like I was the greatest gunfighter in the world, right? And finally, I retired to my own little ranch, middle of nowhere, wife, kid, two dogs.
Right.
American dream. Somebody comes out of here, a fish with googly eyes, uh-oh, and now I got to bring the gun back out.
I might have
brought that back too soon.
Right. Okay. But the only thing is, I like that sort of storyline as being what you're superimposing on this.
True.
But in that case, like, you were a highly competent gunslinger
yeah.
before you retired. That implies that Alex was the best at calling people out, and he is not.
No.
He's not the best at infighting, but he hates it, but he must. He must do it.
Imagine being kind of an alcoholic hobo gunslinger.
Right.
That kind of lucked his way into a sweet gig, and then the government cloned you to create a shittier version of you to take the same gig.
Mm-hmm. But what about googly eyes?
Is googly eyes. I've dropped that one for a second.
So I wanted to look up some of the things that Obama was into.
Uh-huh.
Maybe Glenn Beck also did not agree with.
Sure.
The TPP. Trans-Pacific Partnership.
Oh, yeah. I remember that one.
There's some gun control stuff that Obama was interested
in. I heard of the gun control
reform.
Stuff. Yeah.
I don't think they saw eye to eye on Iraq issues. That war, the debt ceiling crisis that came around. But I guess that's in 2013. So that's after this time in 2010.
Sure. Yeah.
The Wall Street reform, the Dodd-Frank. I think they probably didn't see eye to eye on that.
Oh, man, that one went well.
Did Glenn Beck and Obama have similar education policies? Because I bet they didn't.
Mm.
I bet they probably didn't agree on that at all. Ooh, what about the Iran deal?
That one was definitely an issue.
Yeah, I think so. I think they had entirely opposite ideas about policy.
You would expect that
but
to
no,
be.
But no, just those two.
Yeah.
Just those two. Climate change. And what was the other one?
What was the other one?
I don't even remember because it's not important.
Oh, healthcare.
Healthcare, yeah, that's right.
You know what's funny about that is that I actually think that if we push came to shove, I think Obama and Glenn Beck would have a very similar view of healthcare.
Not on air.
Not on air.
They don't agree on anything.
No. Especially not if it's useful for this conversation. They could agree on everything and it wouldn't matter. Alex would still say that they don't agree on it.
It's infuriating.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
So anyway, Alex hates watching Glenn Beck. And I got to say, listening to this, I can relate.
Yeah?
I can relate to that.
All right.
There is something diabolical. There is something just truly demonic about Glenn Beck. And again, you can go pull the clips up. Saying Ron Paul's a kook, saying we need to arrest 9/11 truthers, saying we're terrorists. I heard him say it again today. I never used to tune in. I would see YouTube clips. Now I'm forcing myself, and it's like going into a porta potty and opening the lid and looking in. I mean, I don't want to. And I'm having to look at this.
But I can't stop myself.
Look at it. It's so fake.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way looking at Alex's show. It's kind of like looking in a porta potty and being like, oh, my God, it's all fake.
Yeah.
Yeah, very, very, very relatable.
Yeah, although that kind of makes your job as the guy who goes to the porta potty and opens up and looks in, and then like, unlike at a gas station where they like cleaned, you just check, still there.
I cure,
still bullshit.
I curate the things that are there yes. to show you, and give you a tour of the porta potty.
Right, right.
It is strange to, like, on some level, I'm listening to this episode, and Alex is describing my experience of listening to him.
Yeah.
And that's weird.
Yeah.
It's not exact, but there's enough layers of it that it is a little surreal.
Yeah, it makes me want to strangle. You know, like if you're behind him and you're listening to him in this like ghost scenario, it's like you are driving me personally insane now. You've completely stepped into this world that I can't handle.
It goes to your simulation ideas.
Yeah.
So Glenn Beck stealing everything from Alex.
I heard him before I turned him off. I couldn't listen. Talk about the left-right paradigm. This guy is taking everything I've pioneered, everything I say, everything I do, and is distorting it and twisting it with a wicked counterfeit. I would love if he took ideas and systems that I pioneered on the radio and took it, if it was pure, and added his own information to it, if he was a good guy.
If he was a good
guy. But it's horrible to know that he's taken all of my points and twisted it around and is conning everybody. And I know they're listening right now. And when Damon Vickers mentioned me on his show, Beck literally swole up and turned red. I mean, Beck, look, you're not going to be happy and satisfied with the $50 million you make every couple years if it sells out humanity. It's going to come out you're a traitor, just like Obama, just like Bush, just like everybody else. But listen, here's the key. They are scared to death of 9/11 truth. They know that 9/11 truth is annihilating them right now because they can't stage terror attacks anymore because everybody's looking for it. So the White House's number one enemy is 9/11 truth.
So what happened then? If that's the case, then what happened? Why did false flag attacks happen again? Because they, according to Alex, they definitely did.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah.
And I don't believe that his position is there hasn't been a false flag attack since 9/11 truth became hot. Between 9/11 truth becoming hot and 2010, no false flag attacks. I don't believe he'd be able to say that based on his own coverage.
I was just thinking of that, like how crazy that time period seems to be, because it seems so long to me that he's not immediately, like, there's not another false flag in between.
There is
9/11, and that he's just rattling off, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but there are.
Sure.
There are just things that he's probably forgotten happened.
Right.
And he forgot he called a false flag.
Right.
Because it's almost a knee-jerk reaction at this point that it reduced to meaninglessness.
No, it is. But I am saying, like, the idea of, like, oh, well, we're dealing with, there's a false flag, and it's the 9/11 one, and it's 2010. Like, that's an unprecedented length of time in between false flags.
777, the London attacks.
Yep. See, there we go.
Alex thinks that's a false flag.
Done and done.
They couldn't do that based on 9/11 truth.
Yep.
If what he's saying is true.
There you
go. His narratives don't hold together.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Nailed it.
Yeah, nothing else to say about that. His internal logic doesn't hold.
Yeah.
So anyway, the system.
What about it?
The globalists.
Good
the man.
One?
They're so worried about Alex. We already touched on this a little bit, but they had to create Glenn Beck.
Mm.
I mean, it's all completely transparent what Glenn Beck is doing.
I agree.
And he is even more slimy than Bill O'Reilly, and I've just had it with him. And so I woke up at 3:30 in the morning last night. Really thinking about how I want to try to be more focused myself and realize the responsibility I have. I mean, if they've created Glenn Beck, who has literally tried to take on, he's like a wolf in Alex clothing, and he's distorting everything I'm doing, and they're monitoring everything we're doing. And we've reached hundreds of millions of people with my films, hundreds of millions, free online. We are shaking these people up. And of all the groups out there fighting the New World Order, we are the main global focal point worldwide, and we're small.
So now here's an interesting sort of construction of a thought. You have if they created him, I must be super important.
Right.
Now, I would say that they didn't create him in order to create Glenn Beck in order to be a fake Alex Jones. A wolf in Alex clothing.
That would suggest you'd have to go back the other direction, too.
It would mean that Alex isn't really that important to the globalists. And I think that's a threatening... So it must you must affirm the premise, the if statement, in order to get to the then statement, because that's what's really important for your ego.
Yeah, the if statement is the far more important statement.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so the then statement has to be true.
No, no, otherwise.
No, no, no. The then has to be...
The then has to be true.
It's so important for the then to be true that the if must be true.
Yeah, and that means they created Glenn Beck.
It's obvious that it's
true. I would like to see Alex support. I'd like to see some documentation of the creation of Glenn Beck.
I would like to know more about that. How much of that is like them astroturfing? How much is that building?
Oh, sure.
Or how much is that physically constructing the man? Is this a face-off scenario?
Oh, yeah. If Alex wants to say that they created Glenn Beck in the sense that like... Yeah, he's gotten a lot of money from probably some dark money sources.
Sure, absolutely.
You know, there is some of that influence in there, but that doesn't mean that they've whole cloth created him.
No, but did they implant a computer chip in his neck that will explode should he say the wrong things?
Did the Koch brothers come around and be like, you need to be a fake Alex Jones. Here's some money.
I want evidence of some real brainwashing. Mm. I just want a little bit of like real-ass brainwashing where you can look at it and they go... Well, I'll be damned. They totally brainwashed that person to do the thing against that person's will. All right. I just want one of those.
Alex has 100. Anyway, the system.
Yeah.
The man.
What about it?
The globalists.
Okay.
They're giving you a choice.
All right.
And I just thought about what big government does and how they always do the same thing. This is a system of control. This is a system run by psychopaths, and they want to do that here. They give you false choices. So they're giving you Glenn Beck or Barack Obama. And both of them
you're
are so
giving
bad,
me that.
The left's going to support Obama because Beck's so bad. And the right's going to support Beck because Obama's so bad. And it's elementary. I mean, it's elementary.
So I guess that when you're above the left-right paradigm, this is the choice, the false choice that people are being presented with. Glenn Beck or Obama, because they both lead the same place. I think this is so dumb.
Great. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Why did they give me that choice? Why did they give me the choice between president and cuckoo guy on TV?
Well, because cuckoo guy on TV.
Actually, you know what? That was our presidential choice after
2016?
Obama. Yeah.
Yeah.
Never mind.
So cuckoo guy on TV is like the controlled opposition, as Alex would call him, Judas goat type.
Sure.
Who
sure.
You take the energy and the appearance of sort of being a anti-globalist and against the man and stuff, but it actually just feeds right back into the same.
Right.
But I don't think that Glenn Beck is getting people to like support Obama, but I guess it would be that he leads you to vote for someone like, I don't know, Ted Cruz or.
Well, I mean, think about it this way, right?
He gets for you to vote for the Republican equivalent of Obama that retains the system as it exists.
Well, that's... I mean, Trump got us all to Biden. Right? Mm-hmm. Trump is actually the cuckoo TV guy that's there to push us all towards Obama, man.
See, what you
that's
gotta,
what's going on.
What you got to do is you got to get above the left-right paradigm.
That's the
paradigm.
Thing. Yeah. You got to double jump it.
Right.
Yeah, see, that's the problem. You're only at the sixth dimension.
Alex,
I've gone through Pennsylvania.
Alex is looking at the wrong level of the Matryoshka doll.
Absolutely.
Which I've noticed you've been saying a lot lately.
We
I think
said
you just,
it three times last night.
I know, and I think you
that's
have,
too
no,
many.
You have said it three times.
I said it three times in one
and on another episode.
Okay,
I
fine.
Think you recently learned that word.
I did not recently learn the word.
We've recorded 800 episodes and we've called it a Russian nesting doll.
I don't know why I just said it.
Because you just have, you have a word a day calendar.
Oh my God, I do not have a word a day calendar.
Yeah, you do.
How dare you?
I'm certain.
I don't have a calendar.
Okay.
Okay.
So anyway, Alex has tried to play nice with Glenn Beck.
Yes.
He's tried his best.
Okay.
And I think that this leads to a section of the show where he's talking to Glenn Beck through his show.
Directly speaking to Glenn Beck.
And it's
the way a sane person would
very
do.
Sane
very
person.
Sane.
It's a little upsetting.
I mean, it's a lie, folks. They're coming after 9/11 truth because they're mad. They're mad that we expose their favorite toy of blowing stuff up to scare you into submitting to them. And he wants to reinvoke 9/12 the day after your anger. He wants to reinvoke that lie. It is demonic. He is conjuring this.
Real quick, I want to say that Alex does have a good criticism of Glenn Beck there with the 9/12 thing. Because he's like, oh, yeah, you're trying to bring people to that unity and whatever. Do you remember we were trying to be bloodthirsty for war?
Yep.
It's nonsense. That's a fair criticism that Alex has.
It's a fair criticism.
You got to give it up to it when he has something.
It is
something.
What it is.
It is. He is a little devil, man. That guy is absolute Benedict Arnold, and I am forced to declare war on Glenn Beck.
Forced.
I have tried to, get messages to him, videos
what?
I've done. I've said, stop it, Beck. I want to believe you're a good guy. Please don't be a
traitor. I don't appreciate it.
Please don't betray humanity. And that's when I'm not watching him. See, I don't watch him.
I've tried to get messages through to him through videos that I've done. I tried to. It is just the opposite side of the TV talking back to you.
Yeah. I mean, it is a little bit even more surreal, though, whenever it's like a smaller TV is talking back to a big TV that's not talking back to it, but I'm watching both of them.
Yeah.
That's now, very strange.
I want to clarify one thing, because I have used the second person when I've talked about Alex. I've been like, you prick, or like, I have used you.
Sure.
But that is a rhetorical device I'm using. I'm not actually thinking that Alex, I'm talking to him. I want to differentiate that from what Alex is doing.
Yeah.
Alex legitimately thinks he's getting messages to Glenn Beck through his show.
Yeah, no, when I say you prick to Alex, I am speaking to the performance. Mm. It is the audience who is hearing me speak to the,
Yeah.
It's a play. It's a mummery.
But not with Alex.
Not with Alex.
A lot of people will listen today. A lot won't. But down the road, just like every other issue, I'm right. I don't have to look in a crystal ball. I know who you are. From a distance, I've been monitoring and watching and trying to figure out what you're doing since I first heard you on the radio 10 years ago in Austin, or 9 years ago. I've been watching you, and I heard what you were 9 years ago. It was all entertainment, and I thought, well, this guy's a great radio host. This guy does a great War of the Worlds reenactment. This guy's a little hokey, a little Tinkerbellish.
Don't hold back. Jeez.
A little prissy, but I guess that's the crowd you run with. I mean, that's what runs America, is a bunch of little prissy chicken necks. But I mean, I didn't like you as a man. I don't think you're a man's man or anything.
Okay.
But I kind of got an icky feeling, but I admire your skill as the little thespian you are, prancing around on the stage like you like to do.
Alex, focus.
He doesn't even want to do radio and TV. He loves to go into the theater and, do all of this. And that's fine. I mean, who you are is who you are. But listen, we're not going to let you destroy the Republic. We're not going to let you, like Benedict Arnold, lead us down a rat hole.
I think that Alex is trying to imply that Glenn Beck is gay.
I think we're taking a very short hop there. Yeah.
Yeah. Now I had a realization recently that I've never had before.
What was that?
When he's talking about chicken neck people.
Yeah.
I think he's talking literally. And the reason that I think that is because he talks about how his neck is thick.
Yeah.
He has a freakishly large neck.
Do you mean he's just literally describing the difference between him, large-necked people, and us, small-necked people.
Yes.
As though we're a different species of human.
Yes, it is a morphological thing.
Right.
It's not a metaphor.
Right.
I've always thought of the chicken neck kind of thing as being like, it's metaphorical. I think he's talking about people who have weak necks, smaller necks than him.
The homo chicken neck B-list genus.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I sincerely do think that Alex has a neck-based masculinity index.
All right. So then we look at that little evolution.
Joe Rogan, big neck.
That's true.
Whoa.
The evolution of necks is truly the evolution of man, as we've seen.
I do think that there's something to this, though. I realized, within the last week, that when he's talking about chicken necks, maybe it's literal.
I mean, I think that's a good point, in that there is a lot more of the literal in this kind of thing than we are. We live a lot in metaphorical speech language. We're people who like to do that.
And it's often very easy to give the benefit of metaphor to people.
Very easy.
And it often seems like when you're talking about somebody like Alex, if you take him literally, it paints a damning picture.
You can't possibly be meant to be taken literally.
And so you want to exhaust the possibilities of things being metaphor before you take him literally.
Right.
And so that's why it never really entered into my mind
right.
that this could be something that is about the size of a neck.
Right. Well, to reorient Alex's, like, to reorient yourself into a place where Alex means literally what he says is to fundamentally come up against a world that you did not believe was real.
Mm.
Right. And have to expand your concept of this world to include that one.
Mm-hmm.
And fuck if that's not hard to do, because that shit shouldn't be here.
Yeah, it's nuts.
Yeah.
But it is very sane, and you're insane.
I am insane, and he is sane.
Yes.
Yeah.
So in the Alex continues talking to Glenn Beck, and he tells him what he needs to remember
also,
in the future.
Also, I can't imagine how annoyed must you be as a TV to like want to look down at the other TV and be like, listen, I don't care what you have to say, but just focus and say one thing. Mm-hmm. Stay on topic, man.
And also, I'm going to spend my entire show whining about you. So anyway, this is where he concludes his thoughts directly
okay.
to Glenn Beck.
Gotcha.
And you better hope, like Benedict Arnold, you get to run to Europe or England, buddy. Because I may die tomorrow or get set up tomorrow or get sent to prison tomorrow by one of your goons. You know, as you put out the word that we want to kill the president.
Glenn Beck's goons?
Out of the blue,
Beck has
totally
goons
made up.
All right.
But in the end, you're going to fall. And when you're old and you're dying of cancer or whatever it is, I want you to remember that I told you that in the public court of opinion that we exposed you and I put a buoy on your butt. You know what a buoy is? They mark rocks. They mark danger. They mark treachery with a buoy.
Thank you.
And I henceforth
explain
put
more.
A buoy on you, a marker.
Wait, what?
I mark you as a traitor, as
I
Cain.
I put a buoy on you.
I mark you as a slime ball who I look in his eyes. The sick thing is you're enjoying lying to people. You enjoy like a snake all day talking about how you have trust with your audience. And I mean, you're like Grimer Wormwood from Lord of the Rings or something behind
oh
the king's
God.
Throne.
I don't know how I'm so mad at all of that.
Death into our bones. And again, you are not a general. You are not a patriot. You are somebody who's there to get our confidence, to sell us out. But you can't let your contempt and your hatred for patriots stay under bridle. You reveal yourself. It's like Sean Hannity saying, arrest all members of the militia. He just said, arrest anyone in the militia. Arrest them.
See, this isn't how things end up going. I think Glenn Beck is able to, or has been able to, get rid of that buoy on his butt because Alex and him are pretty much fine now, and they're compatriots, at least in the, you know, the Trump extremism sector. They certainly have a heavy overlap in terms of people they associate with, Stephen Crowder being chief among them.
Sure.
That
was a barrage. That was
but it, but it all was very projection-y, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
it,
yeah.
It's, you imagine Alex saying those things to himself, and they make a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you imagine him sitting at 4 a.m. alone in his living room staring at the wall in his spiral of negative self-talk, these are the sorts of things that might come up.
Oh, yeah. Every time Alex starts insulting things, I imagine him in front of a mirror, and finally everything makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But that like, I put a buoy on you in such a it was spoken in almost a like magical way. I put a buoy on you. You know, it has a generational curse aspect of it, which I appreciate greatly.
I have branded you and your children as traitors. So, yeah, Alex says something in this next clip that sounds extreme, but is actually true.
Okay.
Back live worldwide, ladies and gentlemen, the people are waking up across the planet. They will wake up to the fraud that is Glenn Beck. Remember a few years ago, Michael Reagan, the adopted son of Ronald Reagan, said, I will give you the bullets. I will give you the hand grenades. Murder Mark Dice. Murder 9/11 truthers. He said, I'm serious. Call me. I want them murdered. He said that on 300 radio stations. That's okay. See, they can call for killing us, but then we say we question 9/11, and Glenn Beck says we want to kill Obama. I mean, just totally insane.
So I don't know if it was on 300 stations, but Michael Reagan did legit call for the assassination of Mark Dice.
Ronald Reagan's adopted kid?
Yep. Who's a radio host.
Assassination of Mark Dice.
Yep. The reason
sure.
for this is because he lumped him in with a group of people who were sending 9/11 conspiracy material to troops that were serving in Iraq. It wasn't so much that they had 9/11 conspiracy beliefs, it appears, as much as it was about promoting dissent among enlisted persons. I absolutely do not support Reagan's actions, and I think he probably should have at least been fired for that kind of talk. I don't know if it borders into what is not free speech. I think it probably isn't, but I'm not sure where the line is, because it's apparently a lot further than you think.
Eh.
But from a 30,000-foot view, you could make the argument that at this point, the only goal of sending troops that material was to demoralize them, which is debatably an act that's in service of aiding the enemy. I wouldn't make that argument, but I could see how someone like Michael Reagan might.
Sure.
It is different than just having 9/11 conspiracy beliefs. What he was responding to was sending things to the troops that would make them not want to fight the war that they were enlisted to fight in.
Yeah, I mean, it's fairly simple, like, propaganda. People have dropped pamphlets on right. the streets of Paris for...
You could make the argument that is a similar act.
Yeah.
Again, I wouldn't make that argument.
I get what you're saying. Yeah.
So this happened on June 10th, 2008, and on June 16th, 2008, Reagan had Mark Dice on his show and apologized, explaining that, quote, sometimes radio hosts, we get fired up and angry and say things that are actually stupid, and we make mistakes.
Huh.
So, I mean, Alex doesn't bring up that part of it.
Yeah. But
you know, it's kind of big of him on some level to apologize.
I think he means it.
Probably. Or there was a covering his ass thing.
Yeah.
You know, because there was a big uproar about this. And people were like, is this the station's policy to allow assassination threats?
Yeah, that one is a little bit difficult.
Yeah.
I know
you're Reagan's adopted son, and that's great for you and all. But I don't know if that gives you carte blanche to call for assassination.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think of where I would, like, diagnose a problem here. And it starts way before we get to Reagan's adopted son is on the air.
Yeah, it starts with, there's a guy named Mark Dice.
Absolutely.
That's a problem.
Absolutely. We got to go back. We got to go back to the island. This is too further on, yeah.
So this confused me a little bit. Uh-huh. This was a pretty confusing clip.
We walk down the street and people come out of dark alleyways with girls in wheelchairs ramming them into us, going, he attacked me.
Sorry, what?
They're trying to set us up. We're in danger. We need your prayers.
Sorry, what?
And you know, Michael Savage says that Obama will stage terror attacks. I mean, does he deserve to go to prison, according to Cass Sunstein, at the White House? I mean, come on, folks, common sense. They've declassified, they stage a lot of these terror attacks. If they admit they've done it before, and they stand to get power out of it, and they're using the entire 9/11 attack for Homeland Security to set up against gun owners, conservatives, libertarians, and veterans. Remember Glenn Beck when he did a show on MIAC and the Homeland Security Report?
Oh, my God.
So I have no idea what Alex is talking about with girls in wheelchairs coming out of alleys.
That was very...
I guess that's a fun example of a possible false flag. Someone could run against him as an attack or something. Like, pretend that he attacked the person in the wheelchair and then set him up that way or something. I think that's what he's getting at. I don't know.
Right. So the idea is somebody would run at Alex with a person in a wheelchair,
yeah,
then like throw them at Alex,
maybe,
and then when they got into a tussle, Alex would then be blamed for attacking a...
I assume that's the general vibe.
Yeah, something along those lines.
Yeah,
that sounds right.
So more importantly, I want you to make note of the way that Alex uses language in that clip. He knows that he's making a point that he absolutely can't defend concretely, namely that the U.S. government did 9/11. Because he can't make that point, he's required to jump from one piece of suspicious information to another without ever really finishing his sentence. It's helpful to track the argument as it's being made, so I've done that here. Here's the basic setup of his argument.
They've declassified, they stage a lot of these terror attacks. If they admit they've done it before and they stand to get power out of it...
So Alex is asserting the conclusion is implied. We know what the conclusion is, and that's the government staged the 9/11 attack. And so there, he's listing off premises that are meant to lead to that conclusion. The first is that they've declassified that they've staged a bunch of these attacks in the past. This is arguable, based on what your definition of a bunch is, or whether or not you think past examples of false flags are comparable to 9/11. What Alex is actually referring to is Operation Northwoods, which is not proof that the government has staged a bunch of these attacks in the past. The premise does not build towards the conclusion, but it appears to. There's the optics there. The second premise is that they stand to gain power out of staging this attack. That is abstractly true, but it doesn't prove that the attack was staged. At best, what this premise does is flesh out some of the questions about motive that Alex's narrative requires. But then, as the second premise is being stated, Alex veers off into talking about the Patriot Act, which is actually just an example of what he meant by the second premise. This is the way that the globalists are going to enact gaining power that they were looking for when he fleshed out that motive. Then he jumps off into yelling about Glenn Beck and the MIAC report without ever finishing his thought. This is a manipulative strategy you can use to make it appear that you've made an argument when you really haven't. Alex's argument boils down to a bit of an if-then statement where it's like, if someone admits they've done something before and they would stand to gain from doing it again, then it's common sense to assume that they have done it. This is a flawed construction, and the premises don't support the conclusion at all. But if you're just listening to Alex, the way he moves so quickly from this to one thing to another, it feels like what he's saying made a lot more sense, and there was a solid argument there. When you listen to someone like Alex, it's wise to pay attention to this kind of behavior. When someone's laying out an argument that seems thin, and they conveniently get distracted yelling about anything other than the point, it's often because they're trying to distract from how thin their point actually is, which is just what's going on here. But it's really clear. It's transparent.
Yeah, I mean, there's doing it this way, or there's making a bad argument and then being like, before you continue and ask me questions, how about you watch me do some close-up magic?
Right.
And then perhaps you will forget about your questions at the end.
Yeah, if this wasn't moving so fast and with so much sleight of hand, quite frankly, you would recognize, like, this doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
That doesn't justify the argument that you're making.
God, dude, the coin, you just have the coin in your in the bottom two fingers. Like, you just got really good with your fingers, so you can hide the coin in the... That's bullshit, man!
This is wildly circumstantial at best, and it's just a thin broth.
Yeah.
So Alex gets back to his feelings about needing to go after Glenn Beck.
Sure.
Because, you know, he talked about
and
the MIAC report.
Focused.
We weave back.
Very
you know?
Focused.
And it turns out that this is actually a very important thing for him to do.
Last night I woke up really not even upset. It was more than that. Just like, man, this is real. And I was like, God, what is it I'm supposed to do? And it was like, go after Glenn
Beck.
Make
a sandwich.
And because I hate talking about people. I don't like it. I don't even like making Obama the enemy or Bush the enemy. You know, they're puppets. I don't like the personality issues because that almost feeds into it. And I'm like, I don't want to talk about him. My way of really disliking him is to not talk about it and try to ignore it and like, no, don't show me that. No.
Yeah, pretending something doesn't exist. You must really hate us. That's what I would say. Also, you don't like talking about people. You don't want to talk about Obama. You made the Obama deception into his presidency.
Yeah.
You love talking about people, you dick.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
I do like, though, the I asked God what to do, and he said, go after Glenn Beck.
Go after Glenn Beck.
Just solid.
Got to do it. God, what do I do? Got to go after Glenn Beck.
It's a strange mission, but...
It's a strange God. Mm-hmm. I think we've established... I think of all the things that I have learned from Alex is that... God is a weird dude.
Well,
he's a weird dude with a lot of weird ideas.
Here's what God seems to be telling Alex to do.
Yeah.
The thing that Alex wants to do, but he knows that it's bad for him to want to do it.
Right.
It would look bad if he was like, I really want to attack Glenn Beck.
It is.
I really want to scream about him and really go after him.
Yeah.
Because he's occupying a space in the media that I could profit off of. And that is really bothersome.
I'm going to throw this out at you. Okay. So if the main function of your God is to, whenever you run up against a thing that you don't want to do, for that person to give you permission to do a thing that you are not supposed to do,
mm-hmm.
then are you not really worshiping God so much as you are the devil?
Or is God, in your conception, really just kind of an emotional crutch that you use in order to justify doing things that you know you shouldn't do but you want to do anyway?
It's almost like the devil is created as such.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
So this next clip is highly projecting E.
Oh, yeah?
I mean, I'll see articles that we post sometimes because I don't control my writers. I know they've got good brains and they basically do most of the posting and ideas themselves. But I will see some new horrible thing he did and I'll not want to look at it. See, that's the problem, folks. I've got all this stuff I read. I'm angry about each article. And I genuinely... once a month or so, I'll be driving down the road and I'll think about the country and the innocence and how the CPS is taking these kids and raping them. And I'll start crying, and not a sobbing cry. I can't even control it. Just tears start running out. And then I see Beck on his TV set. He even shows people this so they'll know he's fake, and on putting stuff in his eyes that makes him cry and getting into the fakeness of what we really should be crying for this country. He is a counterfeit, folks. He makes me sick. And I just asked God, I said, how do I keep him from taking my work and turning it into something evil? I mean, I feel dirty because I haven't been sophisticated enough to see this coming beforehand. I'm going to do the best I can and let God take over from there.
God, how do I defend my space in the market against this person who clearly has access to greater media attention than me? Wolf. It has a TV show. Is clearly willing to do some things that I'm not,
yep.
Like have a boss.
Yep.
I'm mad at him for fake crying, although I fake cry all the time.
In this clip.
He got a little emotional.
He was trying.
Yeah.
Which is even worse.
Yeah.
He couldn't successfully fake cry.
It's so self-condemning. It's just that all you can come back to is like such a pointing a finger at yourself.
Yeah.
Like seemingly obliviously.
No, it is like a classic like 1970s diva at the opera story of like the diva who is obsessed with this younger person, but the younger person is obsessed with the younger person who's obsessed with the young, like everybody is always doing the exact same thing, blaming the other person for being the most version of the thing that they hate about themselves, all in service of, you know, keeping a gig.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Yeah, it's weird.
Layers. So Alex rambles in this next clip about how good a person he is, more or less.
I want to see honorableness and wholesomeness upheld. And then I think about the position I'm in, the responsibility I've got, and all the bad things I do when I'm trying to be good, when I'm trying to be accurate. And then I just think about how I have a conscience, and I'm trying to be as accurate and as good as I can be. And I can't imagine someone who is just as smart as I am or smarter who chooses to join with evil and chooses to serve it and enjoys deception and enjoy... I mean, all I've got is being real.
So close.
And that's not like, oh, I'm real, I'm holier than thou, I'm good, look how good I am. No, I'm bad. But the point is, I am real. And it's who I am. I'm not making myself that way. It's who I am. And that's all I've got. That's what I value. And then I realize, even if I try the straight and narrow, even if I focus, even if I'm watchful, even if I'm as wise as a serpent and harmful as a dove or whatever the saying is.
Fucking harmful doves.
I still am going to let people down, folks. They're feverishly combing through anything and everything I ever did, making stuff up, lies you can't imagine. And so that's why it is about you being individuals. You know you're good. You know you love freedom. You're not perfect, but your heart is right. Your heart is right. You want to be a good person. You want to be loving. You want to be honorable. And you know you're good. And I know I'm good. I know I'm for real. And so all we can do is do our best and then give it to God. And just because it's the burden. It's the burden. It's such a burden. Like I'm the main guy. The main real thing.
Oof. I would say that Glenn Beck probably thinks that he's good. And he's real.
I think Alex has actually stumbled upon a very, very interesting...
I'd also like to take back what I just said. Glenn Beck probably knows that he's putting on an act in the same way that Alex knows he's putting on an act.
Well, but that's the interesting question I have. I'm not talking about knowledge now. I think what I find interesting is that I know Glenn could do a different act, if that makes sense.
Because he has. Yeah.
He can not do that. Alex cannot not do what Alex does.
Yes, there's a compulsion.
Right?
Element.
Does Alex have something of a point in that it is more pure simply because the performer making this thing could not under any circumstances make anything else?
No, because I think that that's a generous interpretation of Alex's compulsion.
Sure.
Like, he couldn't do anything other than the thing that he's doing, but he could also do something slightly different in the same way. Like, he could have chosen to not support Trump.
Sure.
And, you know, that would have been an option he could have taken.
Sure.
And his show would still be him doing the compulsive shit that he does.
Right.
It just would have been, you know, you know what? That world is such a fascinating possible reality. Alex not supporting Trump.
Yeah.
Because he would have retained
so many
such an iconoclastic stance, and he would have, I guess, been pulling for Rand Paul the whole time or something.
Lord knows.
But he would have still done the same show that he does.
Right.
It just would have, there would have been certain other focuses that he took.
Right.
And COVID would have gone a lot smoother for him.
Oh my God. I don't even want to imagine that. I don't want to imagine a world where that makes sense.
Because then he wouldn't have had to have the whole, like, Trump is great except for that he made the vaccine. He could have just had the whole thing.
Yeah.
But,
No, I mean, I, what would I, like, it does, it's not the same, but it's got the front man of the, you know, like, there's the front man who could, there's Joy Division and there's New Order. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yes,
there's a difference.
What you're saying, it almost, like, to boil it down to stand-up, there are people who are naturally charismatic on stage, and they can't not be.
Sure.
And then there's some people who, when they're doing their act, can come off quite well, and they have a performance. Glenn Beck is that person who doesn't have the natural charisma.
Right.
And when you have that natural charisma, maybe you can look down on people who have to sort of fake it and put on that act. And maybe there is something to that, but maybe there's not.
Yeah, that's definitely true, too.
I don't know. I guess, you know, when people ask does Alex really believe the things that he says and stuff?
Yeah.
You know, my position is generally it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
The consequence and the reality is the same as it is. Like, is Alex real? Does it matter that he's real compared to Glenn Beck being fake? I don't know. I don't think it does.
No.
It's funny to watch him spiral like this.
Yeah.
At God's behest, apparently.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't matter in the real world. I think it's more interesting to try and figure out what it is that Alex believes he's wrestling with.
Oh, I'll tell you. Demons. Here, listen to this.
But
I see it all. The whole enemy and all of their nightmarish corruption and wickedness and their sins and who they are. And I see all the demons, folks. They're all around me, and I'm like, my God, yep. I wish people could see what I see. I wish they knew the way I can read people now, the way I understand things. It's almost like torture. You know, the level of discernment I just continue to get.
Damn it.
And then I'm in this weak body. I'm this weak, sinful person, and I'm like, what have you done to me, God? What? And God says, oh, it's going to get a lot worse, buddy.
Buddy.
And now
I'm
I can't
saved.
Change who I am.
I'm
I can't go
saved.
Back. I can't join with the evil. I wouldn't. But it's just, if people knew what was really going on, if they could only understand, if they could only really have discernment, and I know a lot of you do, and that's why you're active in warning people. I'm really ranting today. I woke up at 3:35 in the morning in the cold, dark, still of the night. I went in the living room and I just sat there for hours and hours, and I just... And you know those thoughts you're having in that still time, the understanding, it was so much more, so much information. It was like downloading information. It was just like, at a certain level, it's good to have the information, and you want more of it, and it's so incredible, but then you want to warn people.
Yeah, so he's struggling with demons all around him. Yeah. He can discern, and he can read people really well because of these downloads that he gets when he sits alone in his living room. In the middle of the night, having weird feelings.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's what's going on.
Yeah.
He's very sane.
Yeah, you know, sometimes whenever you're struggling with information that other people can't believe because it sounds too out there.
Right, like there's demons running around all over the place that no one else can see.
Yeah, you might think to yourself, oh, this is a personal struggle for me because I am trying to share a truth with the rest of the world that would allow them to interact better with it.
Right.
But sometimes when you feel that way, you're actually out of your mind.
Yeah, no, everyone else is crazy. Yeah. And also, I mean, like, quite frankly, it's the affluence that influence or that insulates him from having to deal with the fact that he's
Yeah.
You know, he's seeing a reality that no one else sees.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, he's convinced a whole lot of people that he's speaking in metaphors.
And he's created a capitalistic enterprise dedicated solely to making sure he doesn't have to feel
dedicated to enabling.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is like, of all the things that you can do, that is one of the weirder.
Well, I mean, think about how that is the ultimate business expression of a narcissist.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean,
what do you do but create a lucrative business, scamming people into sending money constantly in order to defend my ego from the reality that I'm a mess?
Yeah. It is Shakespearean.
Yeah. So also Shakespearean is Alex's thoughts about death. He's very stoic. Mm. He's very stoic about death.
Interesting.
I mean, I'm 36 years old next month, and I already feel really old. I've gone past being afraid of death to not being afraid of death to not wanting to die, but not even concerned about it anymore. And I know that I've got this far in life, and it seems like 5 minutes has passed, and in 5 minutes I'm going to be 85 years old having a stroke dying. And of course all you've got in this world is being good and being honorable and loving your little species, sweet little humans.
I'm sorry, what?
Potential. And we let scum and degenerate, murderous, lying filth run our lives. And just rise up and beat them, folks. Get your guts warmed up. Get your soul on fire. Get some strength. I mean, folks, a lot of you Christians claim you're close to God. There's no way you are in tune with God, because if you were in tune with God, you would feel the unlimitless love and passion and creativity and honor and everything that is good and everything that is wholesome, and you would feel ashamed of yourself, even if you were somebody trying to be good.
Oh, you sweet little humans.
I just care so much about the humans.
The sweet little humans.
Oh, the humans. What a great way of describing your love for your fellow man.
Mm-hmm.
Think about the humans.
Sweet little humans.
Definitely doesn't make me sound like a separate alien lunatic.
Yeah. And, you know, everything is so important about is, you know, Christianity and his connection to God. And, you know, of course, why not send in a little bit of none of the rest of you are Christians because you don't act like me.
Only all of you knew and felt and acted and behaved exactly the way I did.
The only true Christians are the people who act like me.
That does seem to be a popular sentiment.
And it's sane. It's very sane.
Well.
So Alex gets off this subject because he watches a short film about North Korea and like people who are, you know, essentially kept as, you know, is slave the right term? I guess, yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, people who are abused under the government and such. And so he comes back and he's got a bit more fear in him. And he ends up just talking about immigrants.
Okay.
Pretty much the whole time.
Good.
Well, that's what the Republican leader of the Senate, I was like 5 years ago, I interviewed him, I forget his name, in Colorado. He went out one day and in 2 hours got 4 different consular matriculas for $100 and was able to then go get on welfare. He did it as a stunt. It was in the Denver Post. And, I mean, it's just unlimited. I mean, no wonder the illegals are driving around in luxury vehicles and citizens that play by the rules are going bankrupt.
Exactly. You got one set of rules for a citizen, another set of rules for somebody that doesn't have any business being here in the first place.
Oh, man, that's wild and totally not true. Colorado banned the acceptance of the use of consular ID cards for government purposes in 2003 and only reversed that ban in 2020. Also, this GOP leader that Alex totally interviewed, who's unnamed, probably couldn't get a consular ID since they're only given to Mexican citizens. You need to present a Mexican birth certificate and an official Mexican ID in order to get one. You also can't get on welfare with a consular ID since they're specifically for non-U.S. citizens. These are IDs that are given out at various countries' consulates, and they're not just randomly dispensed. They have guidelines and databases of people who have them, and the way Alex is presenting this, it's just playing on the audience's inherent racism in order to trigger their white victimhood fears and feelings. This is like a wild level of look at them. They get away with everything. Not like us whites who play by the rules. That's the long and short of what he's trying to get people to feel.
Yeah. You know, You start digging into IDs and you start seeing that they're like, they exist mainly because of finding ways to exclude people that you don't want to have them, as opposed to being like a need that is like, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm.
We should just get rid of them.
I don't know. I need to think about it a little more than to sign off on all of them.
Mm. All of the IDs.
I don't know.
All shoes. All shoes
what?
Are next. You've missed the part where the shoes are in on the scam.
Oh shit.
Yeah, I was about to tell you.
So anyway, Alex just whines a bit here more about immigrants being above the law.
Oh sure.
Lisa in New York. Thanks for holding her on the air.
Hi, Alex. I was just wondering, is this how the Matricula Consular, I live in New York, is this how they get illegal aliens to just drive around? I've always wondered about that.
No. Ma'am, it's the biggest issue, and Republicans never talk about it, because it's all staged. They want amnesty, too. They are all above the law. They
what?
Get rental. The Patriot Act doesn't apply to them. Nothing applies to them. They get taxi licenses, everything, with nothing. They're allowed to drunk drive where I live. Sheriffs all the time arrest carloads of illegals, and the feds actually hire them on the spot and go give them government jobs. That's Wall Street Journal.
That's Wall Street Journal, man.
Wall Street Journal.
Yep. They pull over a carload of drunk driving undocumented immigrants. They're like, hey, we got to give you a job.
See,
gotta
this
hire
is,
you for the
this
government
is the type
position.
Of shit. I don't understand how you can be mad in a political way about this at all. Like, my first instinct to be mad at, in this, if what is being said is true.
Which I'll tell you it's not.
No, obviously. But here's what makes me mad. This is a poorly run system.
Quite.
Even if it's for your benefit, to my detriment, mm-hmm. you're doing a bad job of it.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to deal with that. For whoever's running your case could be oppressing me a lot better right now. It makes me so mad how stupid this all is.
Sure. And I think that, you know, when you get down to it about like the Patriot Act not applying to undocumented immigrants, it might be less that they're exempt from it and that the concerns that Alex has about his rights being infringed, those rights maybe aren't enforceable for undocumented immigrants.
I don't know.
Do they have Fourth Amendment protections?
But I guarantee you could quarter a soldier in their house right now.
I think
nobody would stop you.
I think it might be possible to do that more easily with undocumented populations.
You could just say that it's the soldier's house.
Yeah.
They've got documents. It's not complicated.
Yeah, so maybe they're in a more difficult position to begin with.
Could be.
And your concerns don't apply. But anyway,
how do they get to just drive around like that?
Well, in some states, consular IDs are able to get you a driver's license.
I mean, no. I'm totally fine with that.
That's what she's responding to, talking points surrounding that.
Totally. I just find that such a weird thing to... How do they get to drive around like that?
It is strange.
You can just drive. You can just get into a car and drive. There's nothing that stops you.
Yeah. Yeah. I drove without a license for more time than I would like to say.
Yeah.
Than my time in Missouri.
You can do it whenever you want.
It expired and I couldn't afford to go through the process of getting a new ID.
That simple.
Anyway, this same caller wants to know what we can do about this.
Hmm.
What can you do about these consular IDs?
They're already issuing it all. It's just total lawlessness, totally criminal government. Mm-hmm.
What do we do about it? I mean, what can I do?
Well, we are the North Korean slaves. We are the milk hog. And so to further hurt us and further get us bankrupted so the government can really have its way with us and then take your children if you're poor, that's the real official plan. They've got to hoard in as many illegals as they can to drive down the wages and further implode and get everybody in debt who is in the system trying to pay the taxes that can't keep up. More taxes to crush you, more illegals to drive down wages. And then most importantly, then the illegals, second generation, are made the police chiefs and the commanders everywhere. And then they will rule us because they come from authoritarian regimes. And then they will pull the lever to take our guns and property.
Okay.
And then they will be the prison camp guards.
Okay, and
that's the plan.
Thing.
I mean, it's an absolute New World Order banking plan.
Alex is a little more pepped up after he came back from that watching that North Korea thing.
He had to get a little of that foreign people.
And you know, you may notice the similarity there between the end point of that conspiracy and his military aged men conspiracy we heard like last week on his show.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a preoccupation that he's had over time, is the idea of populations from Central and South America becoming police and taking his guns.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is weird. It's weird.
Well, I mean, it's a good obsession to have because it can't and won't happen.
Well, sure. But it is also a good obsession to have when you have an audience that is largely made up of uncritical thinking, xenophobic bigots. and they love that kind of shit.
I you know what? Go ahead with that. If that's your plan, globalists, do it. I dare you.
At least in this situation, Alex has an interesting wrinkle to the conspiracy where yeah. it's you're bringing in people and then the second generation is when they get enlisted into...
See, now that I find even more hilarious. The more he...
It's such a long-term plan.
I mean, yeah, the problem I have with so many of these plans is I don't want them to be stopped. I don't want to stop them. I want them to try and do it and watch how spectacularly stupid they explode. That's the problem with all these stupid plans.
Do you know the level of organization and the number of people that would need to be involved to carry out a multi-generational
in this country?
It's ridiculous. So anyway, the same caller has another question for Alex.
Yeah.
And this is the last clip of our show today.
Mm.
All right, and one more thing. I, as someone who's interested in getting one of those Ecolo Blue, the reverse osmosis machine, as a user, have you noticed that perhaps maybe your energy levels have gone up? Do you feel different?
No, it's just really clean water. It goes through a bunch of filters and is out of the atmosphere.
Okay, right. So you won't notice, like, an energy level difference since they're putting fluoride in the water or anything
Are you kidding? Yeah, a few months after you start drinking really purified water, I mean really purified, you'll feel an incredible...
Hold the fucking phone.
Absolutely.
Oh, wait, I needed to be reminded of my conspiracy theory that is part of my sales pitch around these water filters.
That is a mask-off moment that is unacceptable.
Yeah, a little bit. Oh, I forgot I have a conspiracy about this.
So it'll make you feel better? No, it's just really clean water. I was almost like, that's a good sales pitch.
Well, he does catch himself a little bit and then tries to cover by saying, like, you know, you're assuming that everyone's already drinking filtered water. You wouldn't have a boost from other filter, like water to this.
Sure.
Yeah,
sure.
Well done.
But...
Caught off guard with a sales pitch there.
Yeah, I mean, it is almost a little... I mean, I would almost be more likely to buy something if he was like, no gimmicks, it's just really fucking clean water. I'd be like, actually, I might believe that.
Water,
yeah,
true.
I might believe that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And to this, I would say, this is somebody who seems real.
Yeah, and sane.
Yeah.
Because when I think sane, I think in control.
Mm-hmm.
And when I think in control... I think Alex Jones.
Sure.
Yeah.
On his toes, getting those sales beats.
Oh, boy.
So we come to the end of this, and I appreciate DJ Dan Arkey sending us on this trip. It is kind of fun to see Alex lose his shit about Glenn Beck because he didn't sleep last night and is feeling really self-conscious and is projecting a lot of his insecurities about himself onto Glenn Beck.
Yeah.
That's pretty fun.
If Alex didn't have access to a TV or something, then there would be a doll named Blen Bleu that he does the exact same thing to, right? Mm. Like, it's just because there is a TV that he has some thing to project onto that we also can see.
Now let me ask you this.
Yeah.
That doll,
yeah.
Would it be a Matryoshka doll?
No, it wouldn't. End of sentence.
Word of day. So, Jordan, we will be back.
Okay.
But until then, we have a website.
Indeed we do. It's knowledgefight.com.
Yep. We're also on Twitter.
We are on Twitter. It's @knowledge_fight.
Yep. We'll be back. But until then, I'm Neo. I'm Leo. I'm DZX Clark. Beep, beep, boop, 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 boop. I'm totally saying, you're saying, I'm saying, we are, but we're saying, everybody's saying.
Woo, yeah, woo, yeah, woo.
And now here comes the sex robots.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.